Thank you, Nathan and Abby, for a great illustration of what I talked about last night, right? How training our children in music and helping them to learn music and appreciate music and sing music not only helps them to grow closer to the Lord, but gives them an opportunity to minister for the Lord. And I appreciate that tonight. As a matter of fact, I've heard their mom and dad sing that song several times. And so what a special thing. I saw Nana recording. I have a feeling that's going to go all the way to Hong Kong. And you're going to have some parents that are crying as well as some grandparents that are crying. And so thank you so much for that. Thank you for being back. I appreciate so many of you picking up some of the music there on the table, realizing that next to the preaching of God's Word, at least as far as I'm concerned, music is the most important influence in the life of people, life of your family. And I brought a couple CDs that I haven't mentioned before because these are just music. Remember we said that music has an impact even without the words. Yeah, music itself is powerful. And so these are two CDs that are out there that you probably will recognize the words and understand the words because this is a piano CD that our daughter-in-law Amy mics Amy. See, Amy, we have Mike's Amy and we have Mark's Amy because they twins, they both married Amy's. And so Amy's a name easy for us to remember, but we have to categorize them. It's the twin sons, Mark's Amy and Mike's Amy. Well, Mike's Amy is the one that did this CD, Grace and Glory, and it's a lot of beautiful hymns that you would recognize. Just the music, though, that you can just have playing in your home. And then this is some beautiful orchestrations of songs that our sons have sang, and it's Reflections of Grace. And so it's a beautiful, again, it's just a beautiful CD that you can have, and you can have just playing in your home and enjoy listening along, and a lot of the words will come back to you, and you'll be able to enjoy that as well. So thank you for so many of you taking advantage of some of the CDs we brought, and I encourage you to go by and look at some of the others if you've not yet had that opportunity to do so. Now, last night, we started talking about foundations for the biblical family. How many of you were here last night? Thank you for being back tonight. Now, what were the first three that we talked about? Did you take notes or do you remember what we talked about? The first foundation was what? Priorities. Did you bring your hand back with you tonight? How many of you have your hands? So you got them here. Okay, what was this one? That's God. That's a right relationship with God. What's this one? Making sure you have family as a priority. What's this one? Church. And you have, thank you for being in church tonight. And how many had to work a job today? Brother Carr, I understand you had to, bivocational. Thank you for that. And praise the Lord for your faithfulness in that area. But they have that work, that job. And what's this little finger? Who's this little finger represent? Yourself. Don't get upside down like the world does. Keep your priorities right. And then we said the second foundation was the right power. And who is the right power? Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. And of course, at Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine or excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit individually and in your home. And then the third one, the right practices in your home. And we talked about a thankful home, a joyful home, a musical home. We talked about the importance of being submissive one to another, all in that Ephesians 5 passage, and learning that we have to seek the Lord's will, and we have to submit sometimes to others in our household for us to have a happy home. Well, tonight, we're going to talk about the foundation of biblical principles. Biblical principles. You know, the Bible is a book of principles, so therefore it never goes out of date. The Bible is not a rule book that lists certain do's and don'ts. Now, it's a doctrinal book, and there are things that are clear-cut in the Scriptures, that clear doctrines that are taught from the Word of God that we need to heed. Yes, there are those things that thus saith the Lord, thou shalt. There are those things that thou shalt not. But there's a lot of things in between that the Bible doesn't speak to specifically. And The doctrines are those clear teachings, but biblical principles, let me give you a definition, are the general truths of the Bible by which we then make specific applications. I tell people when they study the Bible, they ought to be like the CIA. Have you ever heard of the CIA? What does the CIA do? They investigate. Well, we need to investigate the Bible. We need to study the Bible. C is content. What does the Bible say? You'll never be able to apply the Word of God till you know what the Word of God says. I is interpretation. We have to interpret the Bible. What does the Bible mean? What does the Bible say? What does the Bible mean? And then we get to A, the application. How then shall we live? How then shall we live? What shall we do? As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 15 says, those that are spiritual, do you know what it says? Judgeth all things. If you're spiritual, then you're going to judge everything. Oh, yes, there are some things that are biblical. There are some things that are anti-biblical. But there's other things that are extra-biblical that we don't say specifically where the Bible's. Hey, the Bible never says whether you should smoke or not. But the Bible says our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit, and we're not to defile the temple. And that would cause me to say, boy, it's better for you not to smoke and destroy the temple, hurt the body. But you see, that's a principle that we apply in that situation. And we look for applications as we find the content, the interpretation. Then we look for the application. And in the interpretation, we come up with biblical principles. Specific truths of the Word of God, general truths, that we then make specific application. I don't know if you're familiar with 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22, where it says, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good, and abstain from all appearance of evil. I heard a preacher put it this way. We need to evaluate everything. We need to embrace those things that are good, and eliminate those things from our lives that are evil. Evaluate, embrace, and eliminate. Great message. You can go preach it sometime if you want to. But I've learned that there's four specific principles that really we can judge or we can evaluate almost everything. And I've put them into a little acrostic that says stop. How many of you know what stop means? How many of you have ever had to stop at a stop sign? And you stop, you look both ways, and you proceed with caution. At least that's what you're supposed to do, right? Not every time do I necessarily stop as much as I should stop. And I have to confess because my wife is sitting here. I roll through them sometimes and I need to stop. And boy, but I'll tell you, more important in our spiritual life that we really stop and evaluate. We look throughout all the scriptures and try to evaluate things because those that are spiritual do what? They judge all things. They evaluate all things. So I want you to turn to Romans chapter 14 tonight. And I'm going to give you these four biblical principles, which I believe that if you stop and evaluate with these four principles, it'll make all the difference in your life and in your family. I've taught these to my sons. I've taught them to our youth group. I've taught them to a lot of different Christian schools because this chapter in Romans chapter 14 is what's called the Christian liberty chapter. Now, I'm afraid some people have made it the Christian license chapter. In other words, I have the license to do whatever I want to do because some people think something's okay and other people don't think it's okay, and we have to evaluate all these different things. Just start reading chapter 14, verse 1, him that is weak in the faith, receive thee, ye, but not to doubtful disputations. So don't be arguing about things. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his what? every one of us have to decide for ourselves how we're going to live. And he says, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. And aren't we glad that he did? Hallelujah for that. But he goes on in verse 10, says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I really believe if we would spend as much time judging ourselves as we do judging others, we'd be a lot better place. Because we have a tendency to look at what other people do and judge what they're doing. Shame, shame, shame. But we don't point right here. What about what I'm doing? What does the Lord want for me? For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then, read verse 12 with me. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And as the head of my home, I'm going to give an account of my family as well. Because remember, loving leaders, with authority also comes the responsibility. Hey, you're learning real well this week. Thank you so much for the encouragement that you're listening and taking notes and recalling. Sometimes in education, that doesn't always happen. But you are, and I appreciate that very much. And hopefully you'll take it with you the rest of your lives and you'll communicate it to others. But every one of us have to the liberty to decide what God wants us to do. You don't have the liberty to do what you want to do. You have the liberty to evaluate for yourself what God wants you to do. And we need to make sure that we don't have our liberty as a cause to feed the flesh or to live for the flesh. The Bible warns us, though, don't use your liberty as an occasion for the flesh. And so there's four principles given to us in the rest of this chapter that all of us start with a letter that gives us the acrostic STOP. And I do that again, not to be cute, but to give you a memory tool that you can remember and you can evaluate things with as you go through life to determine what would be pleasing to the Lord and what would not be pleasing to the Lord, what would be beneficial to your home, what wouldn't be beneficial to your home, and hopefully some principles that even your children can learn and practice the rest of their lives. So what are these four biblical principles? Well, the first one's given in verse 13. It starts with the letter S, because stop. How many of you know how to spell stop? Okay, so it starts with the letter S. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, do you think you can figure out what the principle is? It starts with the letter S. It's found in verse 13. Remember how I want you to be successful? What is it? Good. It's the stumbling block principle. Do you understand what that principle is all about? What God is saying, don't you do something that would cause somebody else to sin. Don't you do something that would cause somebody else to do wrong. Now, I told you last night that I was going to tell you why I believe it's wrong to drink any alcohol, no matter whether you believe the Bible teaches abstinence or not. How many of you remember that statement? Well, here we go. Now, please remember, I believe that the Bible teaches total abstinence. Look not on the wine when it moves in the cup. Wine is a mock, or strong drink, is a rage, and those that are deceived thereby are not wise, and too many people are deceived today about that. But even if you didn't believe that the Bible teaches total abstinence, which you should, do you hear me? But even if you didn't believe that, this principle would keep you from ever drinking a drop of alcohol. You understand? Because we're told that one out of every 10 people that take the first drink of alcohol become drunks. And everybody believes that drunkenness is a sin, right? Everybody believes that. And so if you are a social drinker, right, and you can hold your booze, and you're not going to get drunk, but somebody else sees you drinking as a Christian, and they say, oh, it's okay for Christians to drink, and then they drink, and they become an alcoholic, who caused them to stumble? You did. As a matter of fact, we had some folks in our early days as Christians, in early days as a couple, that took us out on our anniversary and bought wine with our meal. And I grew up not drinking. I was an athlete. I stayed away from alcohol, and all of a sudden they started teaching us how it was okay to drink in moderation. I'm glad the Lord gave me a conviction against that later in my life, but I wish I had never tasted a drop of alcohol. Praise the Lord, I've never been drunk. I'm not one of those 1 out of 10. But what if I would have been? Who would have caused me to stumble? My Sunday school teacher. And how sad that people today are questioning whether or not you should be teetotalers. Whether they believe the Bible teaches total abstinence or not, we should understand that we're not to be a stumbling block. That is the principle that you apply. By the way, ladies, that's why we talk about your dress. You know how you dress? And I got so confused in all the garments. What I always said was I just wanted to be lots, loose, long, and ladylike. And you have all these different garments and everything. I just say, listen, just the four L's, get it right. Because men are motivated by sight. And if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've done what? Is it wrong to commit adultery? Is that sin? So if you as a woman dress it improperly so that a man lusted after you, you were a stumbling block to him. Are you getting the principle? I'm giving you some illustrations. I could go on and on and on. By the way, that's why there's certain music that I won't use. And even though there were certain groups or certain composers that maybe had some good songs, okay, that they would check. The song itself would check, but if they were contemporary composers that had a lot of bad songs, then I wouldn't use them in our church because I didn't want somebody to stumble by using one of the good songs and then they say, oh, I'm going to look this composer up, and then they use some of their bad songs. Or have you ever heard about cleaning up music? You know, where somebody will say, well, okay, the way they sing it's bad, but I'm going to sing it a proper way, and that's possible. Any good musician knows that's possible. But guess what happens? When they like the song, they go and listen to it on the internet, and it's not the cleaned up version, and now you've caused them to maybe get into rock music. Which you heard me say last night, if it's rock, it's not Christian. If it's Christian, not. Nobody challenged me on that last. Maybe you will tonight, but I'm telling you, you were a stumbling. Do you have the point? All I'm saying is you need to evaluate everything. Those that are spiritual judge all things. You evaluate it with the stumbling block principle. Stop and evaluate. Now, let's go over to verse 16. Verse 16. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Let not your good be evil spoken of. Now, this is a little more difficult because it starts with the letter T. And my family needs to be silent. Because they know these. Well, at least they better know these. T. And it's found in verse 16. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Does anybody think they know what the principle is? Starts with the letter T. Don't let your good be evil spoken of. Let me give you an illustration, see if this will help you. I'm driving down the road. Nope, that's not quite. That's not quite right. Everything needs to be true. There's no question. That true is a doctrine, truth. Not in a principle. But let me give you an illustration. I'm driving down the road. I see a lady on the side of the road that has a flat tire. I drive over to help the lady. The spare is also flat. So now I have to take the spare, put it in the trunk, and go get it fixed. And I don't let the lady stand there by herself, so I put her in the trunk as well and drive off to wherever I'm going. Now, I just wanted to make sure you were still awake. I wouldn't do that, but I'll tell you, I would not put her in the front seat with me. Because I might be driving down the road and somebody sees Dr. Herbster with Debbie. No, it's not Debbie. Oh, no, it's not Debbie. Who is it? Oh, no, it's happened to Dr. Herbster. Oh, no, we better call a prayer chain. We better tell them that Dr. Herbster's with another woman. And the next thing you know, you got it. My testimony is ruined. Now, by the way, it's true that I will not be in the front seat of a car driving with somebody else. I had some situations even when I travel where I have to say, sorry, please understand, I'm not going to sit in the front seat. I know you're trying to take me to church or pick me up. I said, but I'm not going to sit there. I'm going to sit in the back seat, and I hope you understand. And I explained to them, I want to make sure I have a good test. I won't counsel with women alone. At Tri-City, there was a window. We got to build our church and design it, and there was a window between my office and the secretary's office so that any time I was going to be in there, needed to be in there with somebody of the opposite sex, my wife, if she couldn't be with me, my secretary would be on the other side of the window watching everything that goes on. Look what happened to Joseph. Right? The devil's trying to destroy people. And so I wanted to make sure I had a good testimony. It was interesting to me in the business world. I told you I worked for Procter & Gamble Corporation before I surrendered and went into ministry. And Procter & Gamble Corporation told me how to dress. As a matter of fact, that's why to this day I'm not into the fad of brown shoes with a blue suit. It's just compromise for me. And I know some of you are, you know, compromising, and that's your choice. But as for some of us, we're going to stay conservative. But it really can't. I'm just joking. Please, there are some of you are getting a little stiff about that and worried. Nathan, it's okay. It's all right. But I had a boss that we had to wear dark blue suits and white shirts. And they told us exactly how to dress. And one time I was going on a call with my boss, and I had brown shoes on with a blue suit, and he said, Carl, brown shoes don't go with a blue suit. And so he didn't have to say anything more. I burned those brown shoes. I just said, I'm going to stick with black. I know what black goes with. But why did they care about how I looked when I went out into the business world? Why did they care? No, not necessarily testimony. It was what they called image. Was image. Now, I think we can be overboard on some of these things, but I'll tell you what, how we dress does impact how people look at us. I mean, in the business world, we had books, Dress for Success, and all these sort of things, and we should be concerned about our testimony. We want to make sure that we're presenting Jesus Christ properly in our grooming and everything else that are so important for us to have a good testimony. I think you have to be careful about movies for a lot of reasons. Okay? In this day and age, some people, if you go to a movie place someplace, it's not just the problem that's on the screen. They may be showing Bambi 4. I don't know, what they're doing. But if you're, most of these theaters, they have all these different things that they're showing. And so when you come walking out, I'm sure everybody would think the best about you that you went to Bambi 4. No. So a lot of people are going to say, oh, you know what they went and saw? You know what they went and saw? And your testimony is ruined. I mean, you're going to walk out of a bar? You're going to walk out of a casino? I know the prices at casinos for steaks are a lot better than they are at Outback. Okay? But what are people going to think? And so you have to always evaluate, what is this going to do to my testimony? Is it going to help my testimony? Is it going to hurt my testimony? By the way, it helps your testimony when you're driving out every Sunday morning and going to church. There they go again. Man, Sunday morning, great, hallelujah. Help your testimony instead of hurting your testimony. So S principle is what? T principle is what? Look what it says in verse 19. Verse 19. Let us follow, therefore, follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Oh, here's another tough one. It starts with the letter O. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. It starts with the letter O. I know, this is rough, right? Others. How does it impact others? What do other people think about this? Now, this one maybe is really strange to you, but when I started going to a little Baptist church in Dundee, Illinois, Fox Valley Baptist Church, as a businessman, I noticed that everybody had short haircuts. Now, you have to understand, I was a businessman. I had a business cut. Do you all know what a business cut is back then? It was like halfway over my ears type thing. That was a business cut. It was cool. I mean, I looked sharp. But I found out that all these Baptists, all right, all these Baptists thought I should have the hair off my collar and off my ears. Legalists, that's what they were, a bunch of legalists. Just joking, okay. But do you know what I did because of what others thought? That others thought, you know, that, you know, it'd be better for you to have it off your cut. Now, who's to say that this isn't short and this is? Right? Who do you think you are? Now, I do agree that, you know, the Bible says that men should have short hair. So I understand that and I've learned the teaching of that. But who's to determine what is short and what is long? Well, others sometimes do that. As a matter of fact, I mentioned my brother being one that talked to me about salvation initially, and my brother thought, oh, there you are, just becoming a good Baptist, because he wasn't a Baptist. And he said, you're just trying to be a good Baptist. I said, no, I'm trying to have an opportunity to minister for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I can go anywhere with this haircut and people won't turn me off. But whether we like it or not, there are some people that turn folks off just because of their hair being down here. Shouldn't be that way. I'm not telling you it should be that way. But I'm not going to create a problem for somebody else if I can help. I'm going to follow after the things which make for peace and where I can be used to edify another. Now, I'm really going to get into controversy, you know, and this may put me over the top, but how many of you have the King James Bible? How many of you know that the Bible was not written in English? What was it written in? Hebrew and Greek. Old Testament Hebrew, New Testament Greek, a little bit of Aramaic, okay? Now, the Bible has been translated into many languages, praise the Lord. And in America, Bible is such big business, it's been translated into a lot of different translations. And some of them are terrible. And I tell people the living Bible is not a Bible and it's not living. Because it's a paraphrase. And the verbal inspiration is what God has given us. But there are some people that believe that the King James Version is the inspired Word of God. They don't realize sometimes that it's a translation of the Word of God. And a lot of countries of the world don't have the King James translation. They have their own translations from the Greek and Hebrew. Do you all know that? But I'll tell you what, even though there are some other good, reliable English translations of the Bible, I stick with the King James. And I don't do it because I think it's the only reliable translation of the Bible. I do it because I like it. I think it's the best. I've memorized from it. But here's some other reason I do it. Because I don't offend people when I preach from the King James Bible. But there are some people that would be offended if I was preaching from some other Bible here this evening. Even some of you possibly. So why? Why do it? When we have a good Bible right in front of us. Now, I'm really getting transparent, okay? And, you know, I'll be leaving on Friday, so, you know, whatever you want to think about me at that point, that's okay. But I grew up playing cards. I don't know if any of you grew up playing. I'm not talking about rook cards. I'm talking about the real filthy cards. You know, the aces and the kings and the queens and the jacks and all those sort of things. I didn't know that card playing was wrong. As a matter of fact, I didn't know you're not supposed to have card tables, you're supposed to have game tables. I'm joking again. You're all just so... I mean, when I first became, you know, a Baptist and started, you know, you can't have, you know, card tables. You don't watch movies, you watch films. You know, all the other, I mean, I got all the terminology that was there that I had to get figured out before, so I didn't offend people with the terminology even. But you say, well, that's silly. Well, maybe, but I'm not trying to offend anybody. And so I gave up playing cards because there were a lot of Christians that thought it was wrong to play cards. Now, try me in rook sometime. I'm pretty vicious. And I still can't figure out what's wrong with all the cards. And I've done all the studying trying to figure that out. And I'm not going to judge anybody else what they do. But I'm not going to do it because of the fact that I just don't want to cause a problem for other people. And you say, you already caused a problem for me because you talked about it. Well, I'm sorry, but I'm just telling you. I'm saying that's the principle. As a matter of fact, when I went to Tri-City as a new pastor, I gave them a list of about 40 things that I asked the men of the church, would this be offensive to you if I did it or didn't do it? Like even mowing the yard on Sunday type things. You know, just things that I know that different people have different concerns about. You know, eating at a restaurant that serves alcohol. You know all the, don't you know a lot of those things that are out there? And I said, listen, I want to know because I don't want to be offensive. I don't want to cause a problem to you because of this other's principle. I limit my liberty to expand my ministry. I limit my liberty to expand my ministry. And some people, you can't tell me what to do. No, but God can tell me what to do. And I don't want to limit my opportunity to minister to people because I'm offensive to them. I'm not seeking to offend others. I'm seeking to edify others. Do you have the principle? Don't let your good be evil spoken of. That's testimony. Don't be a stumbling block. And then follow after the things which make for peace. Don't create issues over some of these things. Go along to get along. Make sure you're pleasing the Lord and seeking not to cause an offense. And then P. Verse 22, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. In other words, be consistent, right? Well, you say, that doesn't start with P. No, hold on. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. Read the last phrase with me. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. One of the definitions of sin, when you can't do something, if the peace in your heart, knowing that it's pleasing to the Lord, then don't do it. As a matter of fact, I teach, if you doubt, don't. That's a simple phrase. If you doubt, don't. You say, well, that doesn't start with P. Okay, go back to verse 5. This will help you. I think now you're going to get it. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. It's the persuaded principle. Boy, this would save a lot of problems. If you were fully persuaded that it's okay. You know, as a matter of fact, why do so many people say, well, I'm going to watch this TV program because I'm not sure it's bad. But by the time you find out it's bad, it's too late. If you're not fully persuaded about it, then just don't. Boy, this would help us in music, would it not? If you're not sure, if there's plenty of music there's no question about, there's a lot of good things out there, then if you're not sure, don't. Ladies, I don't know if this is too tight. Well, ask your husband. And hopefully, husbands, you'll tell him. But if you're not persuaded, don't. There's plenty of other things that you don't have a question about. So many times we do when in our heart the Holy Spirit of God is causing us to have questions. I tell teenagers, If you're not sure that those will be good friends, then don't. You're not sure that's the right person for you to marry, don't. Evil companions corrupt good morals. He that walketh with the wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. There's plenty of people that you can have good relationships, and you don't wonder about that. Be fully persuaded in your own mind. God, the Holy Spirit, resides within us. And when He tries to put a check in our spirit and warn us, listen. Stop and evaluate things according to the principles of the Word of God. And I believe these four principles would cause us to live our lives differently. These four principles will protect our families from a lot of problems. And I believe practicing these four principles will bring glory to the God who has saved us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What are they? S? T? O? P? May God help us to apply them properly. Father, I thank You for the opportunity to share with these folks some things that You've taught me from Your Word that have helped me and my family, and I pray will be a help to them. Lord, I thank You for the truths of Your Word of God, those things that You're very clear about and those things that we have to allow Your Holy Spirit to direct us in. Please, Father, help us to stop and evaluate things so that we can honor You and please You in all things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I told you every night I'd be telling you what we're going to be covering the next night, and I picked for Wednesday night discipline. Discipline. What do we need to do in this whole matter of disciplining the next generation, our children, our grandchildren? What do we need to do? Whom the Lord loves, He, just like a father should do to his son. And so I hope that you'll be back tomorrow night. And I realize that probably we'll have a lot of people back on Wednesday night that maybe weren't able to be here on Monday night or Tuesday night, even though we've had a great participation. So I hope that you will be back tomorrow night, but I also hope that you'll be praying that those who really need to get a handle on the discipline of their children will be here tomorrow night. Pastor.
Brother Herbster mentioned that he would be open for questions. Yeah. Well, that's all right. I just wanted to give anyone an opportunity. Those are good principles to follow. And maybe you would have a question, maybe something that you wonder about. Or maybe there was something he mentioned last night that would be a help to you. And you know how questions are. Somebody really wants to ask a question, but they don't want to look foolish. And yet somebody does ask a question. That's right. That was a dumb question, but mine won't be so dumb. You know. So, or that's a great question.
Let me say, I told you also, you can write. If you don't want to expose yourself in asking the question, you can put it in writing and give it to Pastor, give it to my wife, give it to me, give it to Pastor Nathan. And I haven't received any yet. Have you received any yet?
I have not. No.
So that's why I didn't say, okay, I've got a couple questions I need to answer. But I'm happy to do them from the floor,
too. If anybody has a question, anyone at all?
I have one.
Yes.
Oh, well, the key is that we always have to show them from the Scriptures. And I'll be talking about this tomorrow night some, the importance of showing them from the Scriptures in Thus Saith the Lord or in Principles. Why? I think the biggest problem we do with our children is not explain to them the biblical reasons why. Now, someday they may grow up and all of a sudden, you know, say, huh, I don't think so. You know, and we'll have other opportunities. But if we haven't given them the Word of God, they have nothing to go on. It's only because mom and dad said so. And those are the young people that I see going off in bonkers once they leave the home. when you give them the foundation of the Word of God, you know, they're going to grow up, and I'm going to talk about this tomorrow night. You're training them to be independent. Independent of you, but dependent upon God. So that's why you have to share with them the Scriptures of why those things are wrong. And in the principles sometimes, you know, this is why I think they're wrong. And even sometimes when my son says, I don't understand that, Dad. I'd say, well, you don't have to right now, but I'd like you to, but ultimately you have to understand I'm still Dad. Ephesians 6:1, quote it, son. But it's amazing how many of those things that maybe they didn't agree with me during their teenage years, now they're teaching to my children, to their children, my grandchildren, because they're based on the Scriptures. Make sure that everything you're telling them, right or wrong, based on the Scriptures. And we don't go along with their actions, but we know the reason they're doing that is because they're sinners. They need Jesus Christ as their Savior, need the Holy Spirit living within. Excellent question. Did you all hear it? I'm sorry, I didn't. You know, we're supposed to be reaching the lost, but we're not supposed to be coming like the lost to reach the lost. You don't ever be like the world to reach the world. But the understanding of why that's the case, we need to show them what's wrong with the world, not because of mommy and daddy says, but because of what the Bible says, because of what God says. Amen. Excellent question. Amen. And I'll say a little bit more about that tomorrow night.
Any other questions? All right. If you have any questions, feel free to write those down. And I know Dr. Herbster would be glad to answer.
We have two more nights, and after I get finished at 8 o'clock, then I'm happy to. I'll answer questions if there are questions.
All right. Amen. Let's stand together. How many have been here every service so far? All right. I've often said we want to be part of the 100% club. All right, and maybe you have said, yeah, I've been here every service. And I say, well, okay, I only missed one. Okay, that's good. So why not come tomorrow night, Thursday night, and see what the Lord would have for you. Emma brought her guests. I know this fella, Joe and Tammy. Good to see you guys tonight. Thank you for coming. Brother Carr, thank you so much. Would you close us in prayer this evening?
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given to us together tonight to be in your Word. Thank you for each one who has come tonight. And Lord, I pray that we would see the importance of being in your Word in our own personal lives and before our families. That faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and that it is a sure word, and that we are to hide your word in our heart that we might not sin against you. We ask, O Lord, that your word would be before us each day, our thoughts, everything that we do, may it first of all approach from your word, from what you teach us. Father, we pray that you would dismiss us with your blessing. We ask, Lord, that you would go before us and give the opportunity to share that word with others so that they may hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, hear the good news, their sins can be forgiven, that they can have a relationship with you that will give eternal life. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for coming.